We're going next to Rwanda, which is holding a presidential election today. It is only the second time the country has done that since a genocide in 1994. Rwanda's slow political development contrasts with an amazing economic turnaround. It is considered one of the more stable and prosperous countries in Africa. Andrew Harding with the BBC covers Rwanda. He's on the line from Johannesburg, South Africa. Welcome to the program.
Yes, hi, Steve.
I suppose when we think about a presidential election in Rwanda, we still go directly back to a connection with Rwanda's genocide and that the incumbent is the man who put a stop to it.
Exactly. Paul Kagame, the man who, at the head of a rebel army, came in and basically ended the genocide in 94 and has been in power ever since. He's a former soldier and still has very much a military bearing and a military perspective on things. And he is seen as one of Africa's most remarkable and most successful presidents.
Can anybody challenge him?
Well, there are three challengers, but to be honest, people barely know their names. They're barely campaigning. They're all from his ruling alliance. And it does feel a bit more like a coronation than an election. None of the main opposition figures who are challenging President Kagame more directly was allowed to register or allowed their parties to get on the ballot.
What exactly has the government done to its political opponents?
Well, a range of things, some of which can be directly linked to the government. For instance, the banning of many opposition newspapers, the failure to register certain opposition parties, the fact that some opposition leaders are under house arrest or in prison. Some other issues cannot be pinned directly onto the government, and the government has strenuously denied, for instance, any involvement in recent killings in which a prominent journalist was killed, a former ally of the president who fled to South Africa and was later shot at. He certainly said that that was an attempted assassination by the presidency, and also the decapitation of a leading opposition politician last month.
And it would be awkward, to say the least, if this president, who made his reputation on ending a horrible round of killing, was linked to killings.
I mean, obviously, we can't pin these murders directly on President Kagame, and he has denied any involvement in them. But there is a pattern of intolerance here, a very low threshold for criticism, at the very least, that we are seeing emerge in Rwanda. And to some extent, it's understandable the president does not want a return of those genocidal forces that are still intact and are still talking about revenge and so on. At the same time, I think a lot of people in the international community and some within Rwanda are feeling perhaps he could ease up a little, that he can't go on forever using the genocide as an excuse to crush all political opposition.
So is this likely to count as a free and fair election by the standards of the world?
It's likely to count as an extremely well-run election. And yes, I think broadly, the will of the people, if you like, will be represented. President Kagame is likely to get probably 95% again, like he did in 2003. There is overwhelming support for him. People do, I think, thank him not only for ending the genocide, but for the extraordinary stability and for the extraordinary economic growth that the country has seen. It's a tiny country. It doesn't have much to offer, but it has grown by 6 or 7 or more % over the past decade every year. It's one of the most uncorrupt countries in Africa, one of the most efficient, effective governments. And as long as that continues, I think people will continue to think that President Kagame is the man for the job.
Andrew Harding of the BBC, thanks very much.
Thank you.
This is NPR News.